Welcome to the BID 360 special, the special issue of the Boat Ahoy podcast of Boat Düsseldorf. Together with our content partner, European Boating Industry, Boat Düsseldorf has initiated the Blue Innovation Dock. The BID is the new platform for sustainability and transformation and celebrated its on-site premiere at Boat 2023. Our BID 360 special podcast will reflect on the topics and the industry throughout the year. We start with a discussion round on the topic of sustainability in sailing sports and boat building that we recorded during this year's Boat Düsseldorf. We wish you an exciting and informative session.
Boat Düsseldorf and European Boating Industry present the BID 360 special.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of Boat Düsseldorf. Today we're talking about sustainability in sports and boat building. My guests are Alexandra Rickham, Head of Sustainability of World Sailing, as well as Robert Marx, Managing Director and President of the German Boating Industry Association, and Mark Diening, CEO of Bavaria Yachts from Germany. Welcome. Thanks for taking the time today. Alexandra, how do you, from the global perspective of the Global Sailing Association, how do you see and how do you value the development, the demand for sustainability in the sports, in sailing?
Well, it's basically at World Sailing, sustainability is one of our delivery areas currently. We're seen as one of the leading international federations, and as a sport as a whole, actually, we tend to be pushing the boundaries. So, and it's a requirement, of our public, to be honest with you. Our athletes push us the hardest, in terms of like the Olympic spare and the juniors as well. They're the ones that, hold us very accountable. And if they don't see something at an event or they don't see us progressing, they very much voice their opinion. So I think we're in a good space in terms of progress and moving forward, but we have a very long way to go. And we recognize that there are, specific problems to sailing. So the sport itself is fairly green. But we have issues around the materials that we build boats with and very much also around our support fleets and the combustion engine fleets that we have on the water that we need to, that we have to work really hard to change.
What do you think does sailing need on the global platform or also the local platforms in order to drive more sustainability or the focus on sustainability for events and also in the next step then maybe stepping forward into the individual sports and the leisure sports and the cruising sports.
What we tend to see is that we see the at the performance level, so the likes of our special events like the Ocean Race, Sail GP, the America's Cup, where they're able to push the boundaries. One of my fellow panelists, mentioned Formula One driving changes in the car industry. I think we very much see those events as the pinnacle to help make change. We also see our Olympic classes as that, great testing ground for new technologies for us to really explore. And then, naturally we see the progression of that trickling down into the industry because as soon as we've created like a marketplace and also that people see that they can work in these spaces, then they're happier to adopt them on a localized level. But intrinsically, our member national authorities and the local, clubs, they also just want help from us in terms of delivering, a carbon and strategy. And those are, so we actually go down to that level with them. It's not only about the technologies, but it's also about actually what can they do on a day-to-day basis, like putting solar panels on their roof to drive down their energy costs, but also benefiting from clean energy. So it's economic and environmental.
Mark, if we look at the change in demand inside of your customers and or yachting customers in general in Germany or in the world, how do you experience that? Is there growth in demand? Do people ask for sustainable propulsion systems? Do they ask for more sustainability in production materials or in the entire production process? How far are we on the demand side?
I believe that this is one of the very positive aspects of our industry, because all of our customers like water sports, well, like nature by definition. So you don't need to convince or educate the customers, it's vice versa. Always compare it with the cleanness of the streets. If you walk on a public street and you compare it to your living room is tend to be much cleaner. And water, the nature, is the living room of every water sports enthusiast. So there's a pull, but not only in the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I think it's an intrinsic motivation of the people enjoying water sports. So the pull is there, and it's increasing because also people see that more is possible. It becomes more available. It becomes more affordable. And that is creating more demand. If you have it in your car, it's difficult to understand why you cannot have it in your boat. So I'm very optimistic that we will see a positive pull. Whatever we can offer as industry will be accepted at the market as long as the compromise is not too big. And as Alexander was mentioning before, as soon as people see that in the top technology it is possible, feasible, reliable, people will start to demand it. So I think it's a very nice combination that we have the top level, the sport, for example, driving the technology, showing voters that it's possible. And then it's our job to make sure that we can make it available to public without too many compromises at an affordable level as soon as possible.
We see here at Boat Düsseldorf many projects and also existing solutions in boats, on boats, below boats. We talk about sustainable propulsion systems or foiling motorboats, for instance. Robert, in how far does sustainability change the industry? How much does it open the market for new players? How much does it drive the demand on the production side for more research and development? And what does it do with the big companies who are involved in the boat building process, who want to be in front, ahead of the track, in changing the market and in making boating more sustainable?
First of all, I think we have to look at the time and where we live. And sustainability in our industry has two main drivers, the customers and the innovations. And due to the fact that in the last 3 years, when people had not the opportunity to fly somewhere or to go abroad, whatever, so we gained a lot of new water sport people in Germany and also in the other country for the domestic market. And these people are very often young. In the 10, 15, 20 years ago, the majority, the average age of our water sport people grew 1 year every year. So it was a question of time when we fell down.
Yeah.
And that changed dramatically. So we won a lot of new young people. These young people are much, much more interested in sustainability. They are much, much more interested in hassle-free sport, I would say. They are more interested in services. So they are not willing to repair their boat by themselves. They are not willing to do this or that. They want to go on board and they want to drive. And so they expect that, nevertheless, what the propulsion system is, it has to be easy. And when we look at electric drive, nothing is more easy than electric drive. It's limited for certain applications, let's say inland waterways, houseboats, whatever, where you have shorter distances and where you have a network of charging stations. But on the other hand, we have many other possible solutions. What Alexandra said, we can use e-fuels and all the things around. And our industry is, from the political standpoint, not dogmatic driven. I said that already. Like we have it in the automotive industry where everybody talks about electric cars. We can have fuel cells, but the main goal is to reduce the CO2 footprint. And when we see the sports and what the sports is doing, and people see it on the television, see it in the audience when they are around there, is a motivation for the normal customers to go this way. And with the new customers, with the young customers, we have, people who want to pay a little bit more to achieve the smaller CO2 footprint.
Invest a little bit more, pay a little bit more. If you talk about electric boat propulsion, we see this sometimes price premiums of 70,000, 80,000 euros, depending on the boat side, which is quite an investment, no matter how much money you have. And we see people who really demand boats and are willing to spend that more money in order to make their sailing boat, which is already a hybrid by nature, even more sustainable by replacing the diesel engine by an electric engine. But we see a lot of discussion, a lot of dialogue going on here on the boat show as well. How is World Sailing driving and supporting this dialogue? And are you also, Alexandra, in going in dialogue with the industry, with the production companies?
Yes, we are. The short answer is yes. So World Sailing is obviously a membership organization. We have lots of classes. We have over 120 classes of sailboats that are part of World Sailing. And so the reality is that we have continuous conversations with the classes in terms of how we're progressing. We use the Olympic classes predominantly as our sort of test bed from World Sailing perspective, mainly because they're the ones that we affect most from a regulatory perspective. And also intrinsically, you know, sports in general are moving pretty hard when it comes, you know, hard and fast when it comes to sustainability. And from the IOC's perspective, it is a huge priority for them. So if you're going to be an Olympic class, we know that we're very much driving in the correct direction. But as we have these conversations with the manufacturers, we have to, it's also about give and take. It's not just about mandating requirements. It's also about us listening to them and really understanding how they build their boats. And also, for example, we're running what's called life cycle assessment projects, where so we're really looking at the entire life cycle of the products alongside the manufacturers is what we're doing at the moment to truly understand where we can make the best cuts. You know, what are the hot spots? You know, it might be for one production company, you know, actually just changing to renewable energy is how they're going to drive down their footprint the most. And actually from a materials perspective, we then come at it from the other side, looking at the recyclability of the materials that we have and how can we improve that. So I think it's about holistic. And I think going back to what Robert said, we have to very much consider all of the points. And I think in boating, we're very much of believing that diversity is incredibly key to the mix. It's not just about one way and that being the hard line. We have to look at a variety of different means of getting to the objective.
Let's ask the industry side and the production side about changes that follow the demand for sustainability. Mark, Bavaria is a traditional company, let's put it that way. It has been a very traditional boat building company over the past decades. I guess you will have to change the company internally a lot if you want to respond to all the demands that we see in the market. Propulsion, materials, research development, and making sure that boats become more and more recyclable over the time. How does a company, how does a production plant change and have to change? And how do you see this at Bavaria?
I think for us, let's start on a positive note. All of our employees are mentally already further than what we can realize in production, in serious production. So there's not a big need to convince our employees and change the company in this sense.
Technically,
there are basically two aspects. One is how do you produce the boat? And just to give you an example, we invested last year around €1 million just to reduce energy efficiency. So the boat didn't change, but the input we needed to produce a boat reduced significantly. That is something you can do relatively fast. Yeah. And that's where we put a lot of focus. And the second then is, what about the materials you're using in the boat? Don't forget that these boats are normally living 40, 50, 60 years. So it has a very long lifetime. And we already see today that but also the whole boating industry, and Robert, I'm sure you can comment on that one even better than I can. We see changes in materials, easy things. We were just discussing about sails. Sails is a consumable. At a certain point in time, you need to change them every few years. So when a boat is living once, you have maybe 5, 7, 10 sets of sail. And you see that the suppliers here offer alternative solutions, 30% recyclable, 50% recyclable material already in the sails. And this is the kind of momentum. First, make sure that you as a yard produce more efficient, heat, electricity, all kinds of emissions. And the second, change the way the boat is designed and built to make sure that it's getting on the right trajectory. There is, of course, some limitations, because although we are a yard, we don't produce all of the systems which are creating emissions ourselves. So we depend, of course, very much on the propulsion technology specifically. Even as Bavaria, being a big yard in Europe, we are not big enough to develop our own alternative propulsion. So here we are in cooperation with our suppliers, we depend on the carryover from the car industry, from the truck industry, etc., to help us to accelerate that journey.
And we just heard this week at Bordersdorf as well that one sail maker already sells more sails made of recycled water bottles, like the new, more sustainable product than traditional sails, which are not traditional, but lemonade and Dacron, for instance, which looks like a good trend and a good development. Robert Marx, if you talk about the water sports industry, we don't only talk about the production side, we also talk about the entire life of a boater, of a leisure boater. People have to get to the boat, have to be able to shop in the marinas, to stay in the marinas, to take the showers in the marinas, to dispose of their trash in the marinas, and get back home sooner or later. Well, so we talk about travel, we talk about all the chain of things you do as a water sports person. How does this change, and how much a challenge do you see if you think about marinas and how marinas position themselves, how marinas offer sustainable solutions, and how the travel industry brings people to their boats and to the charter yards, for instance, and back?
When we look 20 years back, the most of the harbors where we had sport boats were just harbors. So you're like a big parking space in front of a supermarket. And that changed, or that is changing also to the new generation. They live on the boat, they sail, or they go by motor. But when they stay at night, maybe they want to go in a restaurant. They like it more than cooking on board. From the other side, tourists are coming, going to the harbor, seeing the boats and smelling the air of sailing and all this. So the harbor is more a recreational area. So the demand is completely changing. It's when you look barely on the traffic, it's a disadvantage because we have more people moving, but these people moving somewhere else if they're going to go to the harbor. On the other side, due to the higher demand of energy we have, when there are more people, more restaurants, everything, showers and so on, it's possible to make the energy there. So when we are on a seashore, we have the possibility to make a wind power plant there, and then we have the opportunity to charge the electric boats. We have to the power for the restaurants. So we have to see the harbor not as a parking space anymore, we have to see it as a recreational area. And when I talked about the next generation we have now, not the last generation, but the next generation, they are also more interested in chartering a boat, shared community. So boats are used more often, what is much more efficient at the end of the day. And what Mark said, when the hull is produced, the hull will live for 50 years. So that's an impact. If we take care of that end of life, we can solve that. But propulsion and emission of the engines, I think, is the most significant possibility to reduce CO2. And we have all options. We need a little bit more help from the politics, also financial-wise. And then research and development will go quite fast.
We will get back to the topic of political regulations later. A quick question to you, Mark. Do you think a trend to more boat sharing models would help making boating more sustainable, or do you see a market for boat sharing in your customers and maybe also looking at the world? I think there are markets where boat sharing is already quite established. Let's talk about Germany as well afterwards and how far in your market or in our country you see potential for that.
It really depends on the use cases. We have very intensive users who are using their boats 10, 20 weeks a year. Even with boat sharing and charter in most areas, you cannot get much more out of it. But we also have customers who maybe spend 3 weekends a year. And of course, this is not the most efficient in terms of footprint, in terms of production. So definitely there's a positive impact if you increase the utilization of one boat in all aspects. And I think it's also something which we are seeing in other industries. So there is a trend, it will continue. I think it's positive for the boats are in better shape. We get more people excited. It's easier. A boat is always, I shouldn't say a burden, but there is a kind of responsibility and effort and time you need to dedicate for not just the sailing or the boating. Robert was mentioning it before. And today people want to use their spare time more efficiently. And therefore, I appreciate the trend. I think it's positive for everyone. And we will see more of that. But at the same time, the owners of an own boat who want to use it as a family boat intensively will also remain.
Yes, what Mark says is absolutely right. We see an increase of charter demands. The Mediterranean, we have a boom of catamarans, for example. What is quite nice when you have two families, and every hull is one family. So you have your private area, but you have the deck where everybody's together. And yes, from the sustainability standpoint, chartering or sharing the boat is much more efficient. So yeah, we have at the Baltic Sea. If you ask for Germany, at the Baltic Sea, we have many charter stations, hundreds of boats, and they are very happy about the demand.
Yeah, but charter stations and chartering a boat is something different than having like two or three or four owners forming a community and buying a boat together and sharing it over the years.
Yeah,
which always looked a bit like a challenge for the German market. If you look at the last couple of years, there were.
It's a German mentality, to be honest.
Often to even form these communities like a car sharing for boaters. I think it never really got that impact and got so attractive in the German market. This is why I asked this question. And is there a potential, maybe with a change of generations, which are more open for shared ownership models also in other aspects of their life? How do you see that world sailing?
I think it's a generational thing as well. You know, I think that, you know, Generation Alpha, I guess is what they're on now, are probably going to be more likely to be interested. I think, you know, ownership is indicative in our current world of other things, aren't they? It's symptomatic of other aspects of people's lives and kind of where we were previously. So I foresee that we'll see more people sort of boat sharing, but the logistics around it and the care component and the maintenance are always the difficult bit. And I think until we have a clear trajectory with that, then we're always going to struggle a little bit to do that, because it's not as simple as a car, you know, it's just parked on the side of the road.
Indeed, yeah.
I just want to add on Alexander's comments. I think it's really just about how you organize the sharing. I wouldn't be too pedantic about whether it's fractional ownership and the same boat or whether it's chartering. It doesn't really matter as long as everyone finds the solution which is suitable for him. I think the really interesting aspect of it for us is increase the utilization of a boat, have more people using the same infrastructure, being happy and enjoying positively the life on water. Because what happens, I mean, even if they drive with a hybrid only, not fully electric, a car to a harbor, it's still better than jumping into the plane for 10 hours flying somewhere. So as long as we are open for the solutions, flexible for every need, make it easy. I don't really care whether it's fractional ownership or chartering or any other kind of solution.
Last question to all of you. If you see the discussion going on in the industry, do we need more regulation in the boating industry in order to drive sustainability and make the change faster, Alexandra?
Yeah, the short answer I'd give. I think definitely for like the smaller boats, I'd say it is, you know, for like dinghy classes and stuff. I think the more that we can inform them and kind of point them in the right direction. And I think regulations help with that. Whether that's the case, I'd have to put it out to the other two members of the panel about whether for like the larger boats, whether that's the same situation. But even in some of the ocean going classes that we've seen, is actually regulations are what work. The rule changes are actually what stimulates. The Imoca class is a perfect example, who have, you know, they're at the forefront of technology. They're constantly evolving, but they're also evolving in terms of sustainability. You know, their plan is to have their boats completely self-sufficient with energy in the next few years. And that's down to regulation. It's not down to, you know, to just natural progression, but, you know, all of the skippers are completely on board with that. And the class itself is pushing in that direction across many areas in sustainability. So I think, but it's a mix, you know, I think, you know, you have to have the conversations And I think open discourse is what helps. And the more people can engage with that regulatory process, then the more likely that they're happy to get on board.
Robert, more politics in the discussion? Yes. More regulation?
Yes, I'm 100% with Alexandra. Nevertheless, that I'm for running an own company, but also making politics for commercial companies. But we need regulations, we need targets, but it has to be open what the solution is. And if our politicians are able to get that, so saying we want to aim 50% less CO2 within 2030, and these are the rules or these are the guidelines, then we are open for innovation.
Mark, do you agree?
Yes, I think being open in terms of what the solution is the right approach for us. Every kind of change is a mixture of push and pull. So the question is, how much regulation, how much incentives do you want to put? I like Alexandra's idea because it's true. I think when you have racing classes, you can change a lot. You can drive technology in a positive way. When it comes to the end consumers, most likely a stronger focus on pull is better because we don't want to drive people out of boating, doing something else which is worse than that. So I think the right combination of push and pull is what it's needed. Driving the technology, the limit in the racing at the top end, pulling the consumer, supporting the change for the ordinary boater. I think that would be a good combination for everyone.
The very last question for Robert Marx. Is the boating industry big enough, important enough to really get politicians engaged and looking more concrete at our industry and help drive this regulations, set those targets and guidelines?
Yes, because, sorry, Alexandra, but the last 30 years, our industry was mainly sport-driven. So the sport associations have driven the political impact, and we shifted that more to the touristic aspect, as 80% or 90% of the people in water sports are tourists. And the touristic impact in Europe and also worldwide is tremendous. And we reach totally different people with quite interesting money budgets, to be honest. And so they can fund us for innovations. They can fund us for marinas, what we talked about. And they can fund us also for sport events.
Good. Thank you. Mark Dining, Robert Marx, and of course, Alexander Rickham. Thank you for coming. Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for your discussion today on the Blue Innovation Doc as well. And let's see in 1 year time, if we meet back at Boat Düsseldorf, how far the industry has developed and where we are then. Thanks, and have a good, successful last day of Boat Düsseldorf today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
This was our first BID 360 special podcast for today. We will continue the series with more specials on the very important topic of sustainability in the boating industry throughout this year. So stay tuned for more.